Ross with some spoken word entertainment here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians. That's right. Russians, Ruskies, Communists, Communists. Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, all the clothes. Let's say, you know, someone buys a clothes.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within, but then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture, and that's been around for centuries.
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
A brandy, please.
A brandy? Yes, miss.
Is there enough there?
I think you just made it. Here you go, miss.
Oh, thank you, bartender.
Whew. Is that your first brandy of the day or just your first brandy?
Both.
Well, I'm the last one who should be giving advice to anyone about anything, but, hey, you might want to have some breakfast first.
Ugh, if I had enough for breakfast, I wouldn't be drinking brandy at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I've been there. In fact, you know, I'm going to be there again in about 30 minutes, just as soon as you have breakfast with me.
No, I couldn't. I'd feel guilty, you being tapped out and all.
Nah, you'd be doing me a favor, believe me. Got about $1.86 and one chip left in my pocket. Getting rid of the $1.86 will make me hungry to turn that one chip into 1,000.
I'll bet the roads out of Vegas are lined with people who had that very same plan.
Well, then, at least split the difference with me. Cup of coffee?
Okay.
Hey, two coffees, please?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Oh, thank you.
Cream or sugar?
No, thanks. I hope you roll dice better than you do sugar cubes.
I hope so, too. Or else I'll be hitching back to L.A. So, where'd you say you were from?
I didn't. But the answer's Moscow.
Mmm. Never would have figured that one, comrade.
Moscow, Idaho. Came as part of a cultural exchange with Nevada. They forgot to mention that it's a 730-mile walk home.
You learn anything cultural?
Yeah. Bring more money next time.
A cigarette?
No, thanks.
May I, please?
Sure.
Thank you. You're very kind. Mind if I join you? I haven't had my morning coffee yet, and I do so enjoy the company of such pleasant young people.
Oh, of course.
Another cup of coffee, please. Would either of you care for anything?
No.
Nothing, thank you.
You know, I always liked the informality of Vegas. You meet such interesting people. You two just meet?
Who, us? Oh, no, this is my grandmother. Here all the way from Moscow.
Oh. That's an interesting lighter you have.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, your lighter. It's interesting. It seems efficient.
It's best lighter money can buy. You can get it for 99 cents at the corner drugstore. It's nothing fancy, but it never misses. See what I mean?
Never misses. Not ever.
Well, I don't know about ever, but it's never let me down. Anyway, we have to be going. So, bye-bye.
Wait! Suppose we make a nice little bet on this lighter of which you're so proud.
A bet? Okay, sure. How about this? I'll bet you a quarter that it'll light 3 times out of 3.
No, that's not what I had in mind. I was thinking of a big bet. A nice big bet you can remember all your life.
Ooh. Well, that sounds interesting.
Interesting, but a bit out of my range, mister. Look, I've got a chip and $1.86, so here. $1.86 says it'll work, and that's about as high as I can go.
No. That won't do at all. You don't understand. I'm a very rich man, and a sporting man as well. Now, my car is parked right outside. A beautiful new convertible.
Yeah? What about it?
If you give me a moment, I'll tell you what about it. I mentioned the car because it was a part of the bet. But to carry out this bet, we'll need to go up to my rooms. Don't want a draft from the doorway to influence the results, after all. You understand?
All right. So what's the bet?
The bet is really quite simple. If you can make this remarkable lighter of yours work for 10 times in succession, then the car is yours.
Yeah, but I told you I don't have anything of value to really bet.
Well, that's not true, though. You have more things of value to bet than you realize. Still, while I'm madly devoted to gambling, I never ask anyone to put up more than he can afford to lose.
Like what, for example?
Well, I want to make it easy for you to win the car, I mean. You have no objection, I'm sure.
That depends on what I'm betting.
Oh, it's nothing really. Small thing that you won't even miss, so that if you lose, you won't feel too bad about it. Something you can afford to practically give away. Such as, the little finger on your left hand.
What?
What?
Does that seem so strange? It's really quite simple, isn't it? He wins, he takes the car. I win, I take the little finger. Now, I ask you, isn't that fair?
Don't ask me. It's not my little finger.
So when you say take my little finger, what do you mean?
What do I mean? Why, I chop it off, of course. How else?
Well, I've heard enough. Let's get out of here. You're not seriously thinking of doing it.
No, I don't think so. We'll see you later, mister. Thanks anyway.
Oh, I see.
See what?
That you aren't a true gambler.
Look, mister, you don't know a thing about me.
I know that you've been approached with a very simple bet, and you turned it down.
Yeah, but...
But then, I'm a true betting man. If someone was to approach me with a proposition like this, I wouldn't hesitate.
Oh, you wouldn't, would you?
But then, you don't have a car to bet, and if you'll excuse me for overhearing, it sounds as if both you and the young lady are in dire need of one.
Yeah.
And since she has a stake in this, she could act as our referee.
I don't want anything to do with this.
But don't you want him to be assured of fair treatment?
I'd rather he didn't do it at all. Why a finger anyway? What could you possibly want with a finger?
Oh, it's not about the finger. But a bet without any sort of consequence is no bet at all.
Oh, it's right there.
Here are the keys to the convertible. Why don't you take a look at it?
I don't know.
Don't listen to him.
It's beautiful. Only 800 miles on it and a full tank of gas.
Okay, all right. Now wait. Let me make sure I got this straight. You want me to go up to your room, and if I get this lighter to catch 10 times in a row, I get the convertible.
Yes, that's correct.
But if I miss, just once...
Yes, just once...
You chop off the little finger on my left hand.
Right then and there. Yes, you understand perfectly.
Okay.
So, you agree to the conditions?
Yes.
And no trying to back out because you're afraid?
No, I'll see it through, one way or the other.
Good, good. This should be very interesting.
You're crazy, you know that?
Me or him?
Both. But if you're determined to do it, then I'll be the referee.
Oh, that's just fine. We'll take a look at the car, and then I'll have some drinks set up to my rooms. Follow me, please. Make yourselves comfortable. The drink should be here any moment.
This nightgown doesn't look to be your size, mister.
How careless of someone to just leave it laying around. I'll be right back.
We'll be here. Listen to me. I know we just met, but you seem like a nice guy. Are you sure you want to do this?
I gave my word that I would. Besides, did you see that convertible? It's terrific.
Yeah, so as not having to kick off your shoes to count to 10.
The drinks you ordered, sir.
Very good, very good. Put them there on the table.
Yes, sir. Will there be anything else, sir?
Yes, yes. We want to play a little game. A sort of a game.
A game?
Yes. We'll need a few things.
Yes, sir. Anything you need.
We will need four things. Some good-sized nails.
Good-sized nails. Yes, sir.
A hammer.
A hammer.
About 2 feet of good, strong cord.
2 feet of strong cord.
And a meat cleaver.
A meat cleaver? Did you say a meat cleaver, sir?
Yes, a meat cleaver. Borrow one from the kitchen. It's a part of the game.
But that might not be that easy, sir. They might not think that meat cleavers and martinis are a good combination.
It's 8:30 in the morning. There won't be any questions. Make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Now, before we start, I'd like to give our lovely referee the keys to the convertible. The registration papers and the insurance card are in the glove compartment.
All right.
And in addition, I would like to offer the referee some incentive to play fair. If I should win the bet, you will receive $500. That should be more than enough to get you back to Moscow, yes?
Yes. But why only if you win the bet?
Why, because you won't need my money then. This fine young man will drive you back home in his new automobile. Unless, of course, you two should have a falling out. It does happen, I suppose, especially between people who don't really know anything about each other. But then, I shouldn't worry about that. He seems to be a man of his word, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I need to collect some towels.
For cleanup, no doubt. Hey there, stupid.
Hello.
Got enough fluid in that thing?
Yeah, I think so. Cotton's still nice and wet. Better like this than oversaturated. The wick's in good shape. Flint seems to be all right.
Just the same. Better save it, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Now what's he up to?
Just setting things up the way he likes them, I guess.
Look at the way he's polishing that tabletop. If he was any more excited, he'd burst into song.
Well, he did say he's a gambling man.
He's a creep.
Over here, please.
Sure.
Now, put your hand on the tabletop, if you don't mind.
Huh?
Your left hand. I want to measure it. You'd better sit down. That's it. You may take your hand away now.
It took a little doing to get the meat cleaver, but the other things were no trouble.
Oh, yes, that will do very nicely. Good and sharp.
Just what the doctor ordered, eh, sir?
Doctor? We don't need a doctor. Yet.
Oh, I just meant that.
Yes, yes, yes. I'll call you when we need you again. In the meantime, see to it that we're not disturbed. This is a private game.
Yes, sir.
Seems like you've done this before.
There! We're all ready. Now, put your hand between the nails while I use the cord to tie your hand in place. That's right.
I think I'll need another drink.
Me too. Only I'm tied up at the moment.
That should do it. Are you comfortable?
Oh yeah, yeah. Snug as a bug in a rug.
More like a fly in a web.
Clench your fist, please. That's fine. Now, put out your little finger. It should be sticking out alone.
Like that?
Yes. Referee, you can give the word to begin.
You ready?
Yep.
And you?
Oh, yes.
I'll keep count of how many times you light that thing, okay?
Okay.
One. Two. Three. You all right?
Yeah, you?
I'm not the one with the cleaver poised over my pinky. Four. 5. You're halfway there. Six. Seven.
Are you certain it's 7?
It's 7.
Of course you would say that. Are you certain it's 7? Remember, there's $500 in it for you if he loses.
It's 7. Eight.
I didn't see the flame that time. He closed it so fast.
It lit.
Did I say $500? I meant 1,000.
Nine.
$1,000 is a lot of money to lose, especially when the young man has given you no guarantees.
Hey, I'll make sure she gets home.
He's a gambler. How do you know he won't lose the car? And then you'll be stuck.
Stop it. There's one more to go.
Carlos! Carlos, give that cleaver to me! Give it to me! Why? Would you do this thing again?
I just wanted to make a little bet.
I'm so sorry. So terribly sorry that he brought you into this. That this should happen to such a nice young couple. I went to Los Angeles last night, and I knew I shouldn't leave him alone. So I took the first plane back this morning. And clearly, I arrived just in time. Carlos, you should be ashamed of yourself. He's a menace. In the islands, which were our home, he took 47 fingers, all from different people. And he lost 12 cars. Finally, the authorities threatened to have him put away. And I should have let them. But instead, we moved here to the States.
Lucky us.
How brave and how foolish young men can be. He bet you a car, of course.
That's right, a convertible.
The car is mine. And that is what makes it all the more contemptible. For all his talk of being a gambling man and taking risks, he has nothing to gamble with. Not one penny. I own every last thing.
Wait, you mean he was ready to chop off my finger just for the fun of it?
Exactly, young man. And I sympathize. Because I know what it's like. As someone who won everything from him, I understand.
Here, please take this. Along with my apologies. Well, goodbye. I need a smoke. Could I trouble you for one?
Sure.
Good thing her flight wasn't delayed.
Yeah. Did you notice anything unusual about that woman?
Besides her being married to a maniac? No.
That's because you weren't as close to her as I was. Almost every finger in her gloves was empty.
Thank you.
So ends Man from the South by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was adapted for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes from the short story by Roald Dahl. Vic Mignogna was Steve. Jonathan Goldstein was Carlos. Adrian Wilkinson was Neil. Athusena Duran was Florinda. Damon Krall was the bartender. And Rocky Serta, the waiter. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666 or contact us at aidsvancouver.org.
Let's see here. God. Ugh.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance.
Ugh. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything? Anything? Anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
Tonight, we take pleasure in bringing you Suspense, a weekly anthology of notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
What do you want?
I'm here to interrogate the prisoner.
You?
Yes.
But...
You must be Dubois.
Yes, Colonel.
We've been expecting you. Come in.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Colonel Graves, Commander, Dulce Base. This is Dr. Hauser.
Hello.
Doctor.
And you've already met Captain Graham, our Chief of Security.
Yeah. Is that the subject?
It is. You seem surprised.
I am. It looks almost human.
Does that put you more at ease?
And it speaks English?
It does.
It does.
Hmm. I assumed there was some means of communication already established, or else you wouldn't have called for me, but this... It has full comprehension.
It has full comprehension, yes. It is also of the male gender, so please feel free to refer to it as he, if that is better suited to your purposes.
It doesn't matter one way or another to me, but suit yourself. Does he have a name?
Not that he's given us as of yet. Dr. Hauser has taken to referring to him as X, as an extraterrestrial.
Yes, sir. Is there a reason why you don't want to tell us your name?
No reason other than simple expediency. My name would be all but unpronounceable to a human tongue, so it would be a waste of time to even try. I do hope this does not cause any trouble for you.
Brother, I'm not the one who's got trouble.
Brother, I find it unlikely that we are biologically related in any significant sense.
It's just a figure of speech.
Ah, then the use of brother is in the vernacular.
Yes. Colonel, have you done any preliminary work?
Only a bit. Dr. Hauser?
I did a very basic physical examination.
What did you find out?
It seems to have systems roughly equivalent to our own. Circulatory, respiratory, nervous.
Nervous?
Meaning X should feel pain just the same way we do.
Yes, I caught that.
In case it becomes necessary to...
Yes, I caught that.
And it may come to that. Subject is highly resistant to both sodium amytal and sodium thiopental.
So, suggestibility techniques are out.
I have some medical instruments prepared, just in case they are needed.
Dr. Hauser, thank you. Hopefully that won't be necessary. Captain Graham, is X securely restrained? Is X securely restrained?
Yes.
In that case, Colonel, with your permission, I'd like to dismiss Captain Graham and his men.
What?
What will be happening here is both top secret and highly sensitive. The fewer people involved, the better.
Now you listen here. I don't take orders from no...
You will, Captain. This is Major Elton Dubois, Army Intelligence.
Major?
Yes, Major, Captain. So you can either leave, or else I'll have you up on charges.
Come on, men.
And Captain?
What?
What, sir? I'll hear you say it, Captain.
What, sir?
Any and all information regarding X is top secret. If any of you have trouble keeping your traps shut, you'll be up before a court-martial.
Yes, sir.
Let's get started.
Major Dubois, I am confused in regards to your interaction with Captain Graham. You are of a higher status than Captain Graham, are you not?
Rank.
A higher rank than Captain Graham, and yet he treated you in a most disrespectful manner.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
It was apparent that the two of you had not met before, so it could not have been the result of previous interaction.
Mm-hmm. X, where do you come from?
And your attire is nondescript, so... Captain Graham could not have made judgments about your social status based on that.
I said, where do you come from?
In fact, the only difference I can discern between the two of you is the higher concentration of melanin in your skin.
X, where do you come from?
But that is illogical. Bias based on a simple genetic adaptation.
X!
My apologies, Major. You asked me where I came from?
Yes.
Colonel, where was it that the police officers found me? The intersection of Thunderbird Drive and Sand Hill Drive, Dulce, New Mexico. Yes?
Yes.
No. I mean, where is it that you originated from?
Out there, of course. The name, like my own, would be meaningless to you. I would point out its general placement in the night sky, but this room has no windows. I can show you, if you will take me outside.
Like that's ever going to happen.
Maybe later. How far away is your home world?
Far away.
Can you be more specific? In space, everything is far away.
Yes, it is.
How far away is your home world?
Do you at present have a means of visiting it?
No.
Then the answer would be largely meaningless to you.
But it also couldn't do any harm to answer, correct?
I fail to see the reasoning behind providing such an answer.
Call it a gesture of goodwill.
I know that the human race is aware of the concept of irony.
You consider asking for a gesture of goodwill to be ironic?
Given my current circumstances, yes.
Meaning?
Imprisoned against my wishes.
We just need to ask you some questions. The more you cooperate, the faster it'll go.
Does your judiciary not operate under the system of due process?
That applies to American citizens only, not aliens.
So you would treat other humans as you were treating me?
Anyone who's a threat to our way of life.
Curious. Once I have answered your questions, will I be permitted to leave?
That depends on your answers.
Yes, I understand.
Back to the subject at hand. Why did you choose the town of Dolce as your point of arrival on Earth?
Is there some special significance to this place?
Your point of arrival just happened to be less than 5 miles from this very base. That would seem to be a rather unlikely coincidence.
Perhaps this is simply where I was meant to be.
Meaning?
Your physicist, Albert Einstein, once said coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
I don't believe in coincidence.
Neither does Professor Einstein, apparently.
But Professor Einstein isn't the one who showed up at our front door unexpected.
Not yet, at any rate.
You seem to think this is all some kind of joke.
Do I?
Yes! All these flippant, evasive answers. And besides, Professor Einstein passed on earlier this year.
Passed on? Passed on what?
He died. Ceased to exist.
None of us truly cease to exist. We simply become something else.
Sorry, I'm not much of a spiritualist.
I was not speaking in terms of spirituality. Antoine Lavoisier introduced humanity to the law of conservation of mass nearly 200 years ago.
Listen, X, you're not here to argue spirituality or science with us.
Then why am I here?
That's what you're here to answer.
Colonel Graves just told me that I was not here to argue spirituality.
What?
The question of why am I here is at the very core of most spiritual beliefs, is it not?
We want to know why you chose the town of Dulce, New Mexico, as your point of arrival on Earth.
I thought we had discussed that already.
We did. And you avoided giving a direct answer.
Did I not give a direct answer?
You said, perhaps this is simply where I was meant to be.
Is that not a direct answer?
No, it is not.
Then what would be a direct answer, in your estimation?
The truth would be a good starting point.
And what is the truth, Colonel Graves?
That you came here to spy on this top-secret installation and learn all our military secrets.
If you are already convinced that is the truth, then why do I need to answer at all?
Because we need to be sure.
So if I assured you that my purpose here is not to gather information on your military, would that convince you?
No!
Why would it not convince you?
Because you could be hiding something.
Do you not have a mechanical means of determining truth from fiction?
Any chance of a polygraph test being effective, Dr. Hauser?
None. Its bodily functions are sufficiently different from our own to make calibration of the polygraph problematic at best. And given that it was completely unaffected by our truth drugs, no, in my opinion, it would be a complete waste of time. Other methods of extracting information should still be effective, however.
Other methods of extracting information?
Methods that rely on physical coercion.
Physical coercion? Ah, you mean torture.
We prefer to call it the third degree.
The third degree? What are the first and second degrees?
You're getting those right now.
I see. Torture...
The third degree.
The third degree. It seems to be an inefficient means of determining guilt or innocence.
It has worked well enough in the past.
I do not understand how. Enhanced levels of physical discomfort are bound to produce flawed results. A guilty subject will say anything to bring an end to the proceedings, regardless of whether or not it is the truth, while the only recourse for an innocent is to confess to an offense he or she did not commit.
Look, if you want to avoid finding out about the third degree firsthand, then you'll start cooperating with us.
Have I been uncooperative, Colonel? Have I offered any resistance?
You've avoided answering any of our questions.
I have answered your questions. You simply do not approve of the answers.
You've given us no information.
Perhaps I have no information to give.
Oh. You're going to have to do a lot better than that if you expect to get out of this.
Alive, you mean? I ask you again, Colonel. If I give you answers more fitting to your wishes, will you release me?
We'll see.
So your intent is to imprison me for the rest of my existence, regardless of what I say.
Why would that concern you? You said yourself that none of us truly cease to exist.
It does not concern me. I am merely pondering the utter lack of morality in such an action.
What would an alien know about morality?
Listen, I don't have to explain my actions to you. I'll do whatever I have to do in order to keep my country safe.
Safe from what?
From you! From you and your kind!
But I have done nothing to indicate that I am any sort of threat.
You're here, aren't you?
It would seem that way.
That's enough for me.
Will your conscience allow you to inflict pain on an innocent?
Mister, my conscience answers to the people of the United States, and no one else.
I see.
Colonel, I think the best thing to do is continue this in the morning, and give our visitor some time to consider what he has learned here.
Thank you, Major. I will.
All right. You're the expert, after all. But if our visitor isn't more cooperative come morning, we'll need to resort to more extreme measures.
I think I've learned enough about its anatomy to suggest the most effective techniques.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll keep that in mind.
Captain Graham, I want two guards inside this room and two others outside at all times. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Colonel, respectfully, in an interrogation such as this, keeping the subject in complete isolation when not undergoing questioning is very important. I would suggest dispensing with the interior guards.
Are you certain?
Yes, sir. It's a proven technique.
But how do we know he won't try to harm himself?
Harm myself? Why should I wish to do that?
To deny us all that valuable information you have in your head.
If I do indeed have valuable information in my head, I am already doing a good job of denying it to you.
We'll find out in the morning. We'll find out everything.
Yes, I do believe we will.
Captain Graham, just post two guards outside the door, but keep the prisoner in restraints. Understood?
Understood, sir.
Good morning, Major Dubois.
Good morning, sir.
Sergeant, has Dr. Hauser arrived yet?
No, sir. No one has gone in or out of the room since you left at 2315 last night.
Very good. Do you want to wait for Hauser or get started now?
No, let's get started now. I was playing a hunch last night, and I want to see if it panned out.
All right. Sergeant, open the door. What the devil?
X is gone, isn't he?
That's not possible. This door's the only way in or out, and it hasn't been opened since last night. Even if he managed to get free of his restraints, there's no escape.
Yet X is gone. nonetheless.
Was this your hunch? That X had some means of getting out?
Yes.
Then why didn't you say something?
Because you wouldn't have believed that any more than you believed your own eyes when you first looked into that room. All I had was the merest hint of a gut feeling.
How did he do it?
I don't know how, but I do know why.
It doesn't take a military intelligence officer to know the why. X didn't want to be imprisoned. Who would?
But that's not the reason.
Then why don't you tell me what it is, Major?
X left because the interrogation was over.
Over? We'd barely begun!
No, it was over. He learned all he needed to learn.
What?
Colonel Graves, we thought we were interrogating him, but really, he was interrogating us.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Is it, Colonel? Think about where X chose to first appear. He didn't just turn up within a few miles of a military installation. He turned up within a few miles of the very installation he'd have been taken to anyway. And the way he avoided giving us any information while using his own seemingly innocent questions to learn about us, even when we didn't answer. Colonel, I've been on both ends of a grilling, and last night we were being grilled. Very subtly, but grilled nonetheless.
But grilled for what? We didn't divulge any military secrets. At least nothing X didn't know already.
He wasn't here to learn about our military. He was here to learn about us.
Not us personally.
No. About us as a species. About humanity.
But couldn't X do that anywhere? Go someplace out of the way and carefully observe human interactions?
He could have, but he wouldn't have gotten the results he wanted.
Why not?
Because you don't learn the true nature of humanity by watching people go about their everyday lives. You learn it by seeing how they react when put in situations where fear and hatred hold sway. Some people show their best selves in circumstances like that. Most of us don't. We certainly didn't acquit ourselves very well last night. X got prime examples of man at his worst. Bigoted, sadistic, xenophobic, jingoistic.
Last night we did our duty.
And how many times in history have we seen the most indefensible deeds defended with those very words?
Major!
I am pointing fingers at myself as much as anyone else. But from X's standpoint, he was quite literally a fella just standing around minding his own business when he was taken prisoner and threatened with torture for nothing.
Nothing? He's an extraterrestrial.
That by itself doesn't make him guilty of anything.
But we couldn't very well just let him walk around going wherever he pleased.
We might well have been better off doing just that.
Why?
Because while you and Dr. Hauser were questioning X, I was watching and listening. And what I learned gives me cause for great concern.
But he didn't tell us anything.
Yes, he did. For all of X's efforts to not reveal anything about himself or his race, he did let something slip. Not through his words, but through the choices he made and the things he didn't say.
What did you learn?
Well, the fact that he decided to carry out his interrogation in this way would indicate that even though they would seem to be a peaceful, just race, from a behavioral standpoint, they're not that different from us. That's how he knew that the best way to learn about humanity was by putting us under stress. And that means his race, even as evolved as it is, might act in a similar manner if feeling threatened. And that's not all.
What's the rest?
His unwillingness to give us any information about where he comes from. If his race was truly not afraid of mankind, there would be no reason not to tell us where they live. But he didn't. And all we did was reinforce his fears.
So, what happens now?
An advanced alien race feels threatened by mankind. Threatened enough that they won't even tell us where they're from, even though we're probably 100 years or more from being able to venture deep into space. If the situation were reversed, what would we do? I think you know.
Yeah.
We can only hope that they're advanced enough to contain their fear and not act on it. Because if they're not...
So ends The Interrogator by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Tonight's story of Suspense. Suspense is produced by Blue Hours Productions and recorded at Melrose Music in Hollywood, California. Tonight's radio drama was written especially for Suspense by John C. Alzadek and Dana Perry Hayes. Jason E. Kelly was Major Elton Dubois. Todd Habercorn was X. Talon Beeson was Colonel Graves. Adrian Wilkinson was Dr. Hauser, and Damon Krall was Captain Graham. I'm your host, Damon Krall. Next week at this time, tune in again for another study in Suspense.
Been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money, the one you love has deserted you, that makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
And you're tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Brian McDonald, and that's about all the time that we have for Scald's Hall tonight. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock.